All right. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. And Nima Fiend is taking the day off again. And he's taking tomorrow off. And he's taking next Saturday off. But he'll be back next Sunday. So it's all good. And it takes a village to fill in for Nima Vidotti. So today we have Lusander Fiend. How you doing there, Lusander?
Yo, I am broadcasting live and worldwide from my dining room table.
And Nikki Darling. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm nifty. So it's Father's Day here at the Freedom Fiends. We have our own holidays. So it's Father's Day, and we're going to have your dad come on and play some Engelbert Humperdinck songs, right? No, he's going to play Jones. That song, Lesbian Seagull. Do you know that song?
No.
It's actually a song by Engelbert Humperdinck. He's kind of like Tom Jones. He's that, 60s era, housewives threw their panties at him because he was so manly kind of singer. And he actually has a song called Lesbian Seagull. It's on it's in the Beavis and Butthead movie. It's played by the hippie teacher. What's the hippie teacher's name? Yeah, he plays it in class on acoustic guitar.
I think it's Dresler. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So we're going to talk about Paul Krugman. Who is Paul Krugman there, Lou?
Well, Paul Krugman fancies himself to be an economist, but he's not an economist. He's a Keynesian. Mm-hmm. And he's not even a very good Keynesian, because most Keynesians think that he's completely full of humor. I mean, he's just absolutely off the wall, bat stuff, silly, goofball, has absolutely no idea. Some of his greatest hits are build up a giant army to defend against intergalactic alien attack because it will stimulate the economy. He also said that the fact that the internet would have about as much impact on the economy as a fax machine. And now he's being paid $25,000 a month by the Income Inequality Institute.
Yeah, that joke just kind of writes itself. Income Inequality Institute will pay Paul Krugman $25,000 per month. Yeah, his income isn't unequal enough. And, I have no problem with anybody being paid by the private sector what they're worth. But this isn't really the private sector. This is a backdoor deal through university in New York, CUNY's Graduate Center. And it's Luxembourg Income Study Center, a research arm devoted to studying income patterns and their effect on inequality. I'll bet it's something to do with the UN, actually. Sounds like it. Luxembourg Income Study Center. But I don't know. I'm not being nationalistic, or just because it's got Europe in the name means it's bad. But yeah, this whole thing kind of, Nikki, do you have this up right now?
No, unfortunately. I have the counter argument from Slate Magazine about why he isn't a hypocrite for taking the money.
Okay, I don't necessarily think he's a hypocrite. We'll get to that, but I just think this sounds like some backdoor government money being shoveled in for policy. Because science is great. I'm not anti-science, and I think that people who criticize big government science are often condemned as being anti-intellectual. Nothing could be further from the truth. I like science. I like facts. I like knowledge. But a lot of research in the government sector, in the parasite sector, is not done scientifically. Basically, instead of saying, science is where you say, let's find out what the facts are. This kind of so-called science, they give you a bunch of money and say, here's the facts. Find some science to prove this. And that's what Paul Krugman is. Because the very kind of economics he does, Keynesian, is not real economics. Explain why, Lou.
Well, basically, Keynesian economics revolves around a lot of government intervention rather than a laissez-faire. And if you look at particularly Krugman's version of Keynesian economics, because even Keynes is rolling over in his grave at Krugman, if you look at Krugman's basis, it destroys a lot of resources, it misdirects a lot of resources, and it just screws everything up.
Yeah, I mean, classic Keynesianism is war causes prosperity. And it's even like reduced to broken windows cause prosperity. And you said if broken windows cause prosperity, Detroit would be paved in gold because a lot of abandoned buildings there have their windows broken out. Now, what's the good kind of economics?
Well, the good kind of economics is Austrian. And I would point out that a lot of the occupied buildings have broken windows also.
In New York City, yeah.
In Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, I just said the Occupy buildings, like where Occupy Wall Street was in New York City. I don't think they broke windows, but some people in Seattle broke windows a bunch of years ago at the anti-New World Order things. You know, I think those people, I don't think the breaking windows is a good thing. And those people were called anarchists, and they really aren't because they're acting like the state. But yeah, a lot of people protest the wrong things. You know, they shouldn't be occupying Wall Street. They should be occupying the Fed, or better yet, just ignoring it all until it drowns itself in the bathtub because nobody loves it.
Meh. Yeah, they're protesting the leaves and branches when they should be protesting the root.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a tweet retweeted about drowning the government in the bathtub by somebody famous?
It was by the guy who said that. What's that guy's name?
Grover Norquist.
Thank you.
Yeah. Grover Norquist is the driving force behind getting Republicans to sound like anarchists when they're running for office, you know, saying, I want the government smaller than you. No, I want the government smaller than you, which is all a lie because they really all just want to bomb the Middle East, except Israel, back to the Stone Age. They all want to have a giant police state. Not all of them, but a lot of them who signed the Grover Norquist No New Taxes pledge, none of them stuck by it except Ron Paul. And most of them want, you know, they basically want to strip government down to the bone for everything except defense and the war on drugs and, you know, mixing church with state when it serves them to mix church with state. So they're not really conservatives. They're not really small government. But Norquist is really small government. He's a funny guy, too. He's a stand-up comedian, and his stand-up comedy is actually listenable. But he did he's really known well for the quote, I don't want to get rid of government. I just want to reduce its size till I can drown it in the bathtub. And the Freedom Fiends go beyond that and say, we just want to make fun of the government until it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one loves it. That's my strategy, actually.
That's a great one.
And it may be working.
Is it? Do you have examples?
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll cover that in a little while. But there are some articles out there that point towards that, and I will call it empirical evidence.
You got one?
I got one, but I don't have it up right now.
Well, let's make fun of Krugman a little bit more. He looks like an economist. He's not wearing a bow tie, but he is wearing a tie, and he does have a beard, and he's a distinguished-looking gentleman of about 60, which, you know, economics is one of those things where the older you are, the better you are, because people think you have experience just because you're old. I'm going to be 50 here in May, so I'm not being ageist. I'm not saying, these old people, they're getting on my nerves, because I'm an old people. But let's see. Under a letter obtained by New York's Freedom of Information Law, CUNY, CUNY, that's the university, intends to pay Krugman $225,000 a year or $25,000 a month to play a modest role in our public events and, quote, contribute to the buildup of a new inequality initiative. So this isn't just education. This is politics and policy and working towards something that will be backed by the barrel of a gun, you know, because that's what laws are. And we say that every show. We'll say it again is, you know, if you disobey a law, they will they'll come to men with guns. And if you ignore them, they will cage you or shoot you. So laws are not suggestions. Guns.
They're ideas backed by guns.
Yeah. Let's just call them guns instead of laws. Yeah. Guns.
It's the full aggression principle.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Government lives by the FAP.
By the FAP, the full aggression principle. Yeah, that's what. Yes. Talk about that, Lou.
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, as you said, every law is enforced at the barrel of a gun. Without the gun, those laws would be nothing more than suggestions. And I'm sorry, but transparency is when the silencer comes off and you can actually hear the shots being fired.
Which you can more and more. There's a lot of. You know, if anybody thinks we're crazy saying, like, police are brutal and they shoot people and they tase people for no reason.
And dogs.
Yeah. Go on YouTube and search, you know, police shoots whatever. Like, it'll autofill. You'll have police shoots dog, police shoots homeless guy, police shoots old lady, you know, police shoots cat. They're all there, man. There's video of it. We're not making this up. Go look at it.
When you think of tyranny, think of those guys, because they're the ones that make it all possible.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that will come by to ensure that you have signed up for your Obamacare. Those are the ones that will come by to make sure that you have registered your guns, have turned them in. They will make sure that your garden is just perfectly in line with all the ordinances and codes. And if you think you live in a free country simply because you have the permits and licenses to do stuff, I'm sorry, you got another thing coming.
Ooh. Yeah, but it's a jobs program. You gotta have jobs for those police officers and those enforcers and those blue-headed UN dragoons that come over from Luxembourg to help with the gun confiscations.
Well, they can find honest work selling incense in a Jamaican head shop.
Yeah, and you're referencing something I heard at a Grateful Dead show about 25 years ago. I was in the parking lot. Didn't go in, just was in the parking lot checking it out. I've been to a few Dead shows, I'll admit that. But I saw some cops dragging some hippie away for smoking a joint, and there was some Jamaican dude screaming at the cops going, Hey, mom, why don't you get an honest job? Why don't you get honest work? You come down to my office Monday, I give you honest work selling incense, mom. I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah. And why isn't that kind of policing honest work, Lou?
Well, because it's something that would not be paid for voluntarily by people in the market. Those that support the drug war, there are some that would say, here, take this money and go rob somebody for having vegetation, for violating agriculture laws. But for the most part, the average person won't do it. That's why the money has to be stolen and thrown into a big, massive pile and redistributed, socialism. And that's how you get all these laws and everything else. And the people that cheer these laws are basically pointing guns at people. People, quit pointing government at each other.
Yeah.
Because government is a gun.
So if you're in favor of the war on drugs, you're a socialist. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the real free market. Worms. Can I get a worms, Nikki?
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And I hate your politics, no matter what they are. We're kind of post-political here. I guess we would fall under the libertarian ANCAP end of that if you had to put an armband on us to identify us like the government would like to do. But I think it's all pretty silly. And there's this article called I Hate Your Politics from 2002 by John Scalzi, who's a... doesn't matter what his politics are, because to describe him, I guess he's a left libertarian, whatever that is, which is, what is that, Nikki?
Hippies. Socialist hippies, but they're, I don't know, more, they honor each other's property more, perhaps.
So it's like, communism, yeah. But you get to keep your own stuff. You get, if you want your room, you can keep it.
I guess. There's no redistribution.
They just encourage you to, they don't force you to. Well, you know. Hey, I have no problem with that as long as it's self-contained and doesn't spread like a virus. And, you know, even if the ideas spread like a virus, I'm fine with that if people adopt them voluntarily. But I've never met anyone who's any flavor of communist who isn't so brainwashed that their way is the right way, that they have some inkling of it should be spread by force. I guess, you know, there may be some people who feel differently. And kudos to them. And if they made good neighbors, I'd be fine living next door to them. But...
No.
They probably would smell. Okay, so I mean, you have to understand, it's like I'm 50. I went to hippie communes with my sisters in New Hampshire when I was 10. It's nothing new to me, you know. It's but I guess that was a little different because those were they didn't understand economics. I guess left libertarians are filthy hippies who understand Austrian economics, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but they're probably not all filthy.
I know. I've seen a picture of John Scalzi. He looked, the guy who wrote this, he looks very unfilthy. So we're going to each read a couple paragraphs of this. "I Hate Your Politics" by John Scalzi. "I hate your politics. No, I don't really know what they are. And no, I probably don't know you who you are either. Really, those two points are immaterial. No offense. As it turns out, about 46% of you are liberal, 46% of you are conservative, and the rest of you just want your guns, drugs, and brothels. Here in the United States, we call them folks libertarians."
Woohoo!
"Each of you carries a baggage of your political affiliation, and all of that baggage has a pukey smell to it. Like one of your larger rodent species crawled in and expired in your folded underwear. Listening to any of you yammer on about the geopolitical situation is enough to make one want to melt down one's dental fillings with a beeswax candle and then jam an ice pick into the freshly exposed nerve just to have something else to think about. It's not so much that politics brings out the worst in people than it is that the worst in people goes looking for something to do, and that usually ends up being politics. It's either that or setting fires in trash cans." Nikki?
In the spirit of fairness and completeness, let me go down the list and tell you what I hate about each major political branch of political thinking. Liberals, the stupidest and weakest members of the political, what is that word?
Triumvirate.
Ah, okay, triumvirate. They allowed conservatives to turn their name into a slur against them, exposing them as the political equivalent of the kid who lets the school bully pummel him with his own fist. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Just stop hitting yourself. Liberals champion the poor and the weak, but do it in such a condescending, bureaucratic way that the po-ill-imagimicated Cledi, or Cletus, would rather eat their own shotgun than associate with the likes of them. Famously humorless and dour, probably because for a really good liberal, everything is political, and you just can't take a joke about things like that.
Lou?
"Defensive and peevish, even when they're right, under the impression that people in politics should play fair, which is probably why they get screwed as often as they do," referencing the 2000 presidential election. "People feel guilty about their freedoms their political positions allow them, which is frankly idiotic. Liberals are politically able to have all sorts of freaky mammal sex, but typically don't. Good liberal foreplay is a permission slip and three layers of impermeable barriers. The only vaguely liberal person we know of who seems to enjoy sex in the last 30 years is Clinton, and look what he got out of it. Fractious and have no sense of loyalty, which will publicly tear out the intestines of those closest to them at the most politically inopportune times. The attention spans of poultry. Yeah. We'll go back into this once we come back from the market.
I hate your politics, no matter what they are.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com. Yeah. This is Michael Dean. Po illegitimated Cletai. Illegitimated Cletai. That is the plural for Cletus. which is, I guess, a redneck with a shotgun. I don't know. I'm kind of redneck and have a shotgun, but I'm not illegitimated. So we're reading this I Hate Your Politics by John Scalzi, and Lou was in the liberal part comparing them to poultry. You want to pick it up from there, Lou?
Liberals have the attention spans of poultry, easily distracted from large useful goals by pointless minutiae, probably shiny objects. Not only can't see the forest through the trees, can't see the trees for the pine needles, deserve every bad thing that happens to them because they just can't get their act together. Too bad those they presume to stand for get royally screwed as well.
Conservatives. This is John Scalzi's words, not mine. Self-hating moral relativists, unless you can convince me that an intellectual class that publicly praises family values but privately engages in sodomy, coke, and trophy wives is more aptly described in some other way. Not every conservative is a wealthy old white man on his third wife, but nearly every conservative aspires to be so, which is a real waste of money, youth, race, and women. That's a weird sentence. Genuinely fear and hate those who are not with them. The sort of people who would rather poop on a freshly baked cherry pie than share it with someone not of their tribe. Conservatives believe in government by the oligarchy for the oligarchy, which is why the conservative idea of an excellent leader is Ronald Reagan. That is, genial, brain damaged, and amenable to manipulation by his more mentally composed underlings. They're under the impression that they own the copyright on Jesus and get testy when other political factions point out that technically Christ is in the public domain. Conservatives don't actually bother to spend time with people who are not conservative and thus become confused and irritable when people disagree with them, because fundamentally they can't even see how that's possible, which shows an almost charming intellectual naivete. They're less interested in explaining their point of view than nuking you and everything you stand for into blackened cinders before your evil worldview catches on like a virus. Conservatives have no volume control on their hate, yet were shocked as hell when Rush Limbaugh went deaf. Nikki?
Conservatives, clueless enough to think that having Condi Rice and Andrew Sullivan on the team somehow counts as diversity, pen their thinkers like Veal in think tanks rather than let them interact with people who might oppose their views. Loathe women who are not willing to have their opinions as safety shellacked as their hair. Let their sons get caught with a dime bag and see how many are really for zero tolerance. Let a swarthy day laborer impregnate their daughters and find out how many of them are really pro-life. Libertarians never got over the fact that they weren't the illegitimate children of Robert Heinlein and Ayn Rand, currently punishing the rest of us for it. Usually smug for a political philosophy that's never gotten anyone elected for anything above the local water board. For all the legalized drugs and prostitution, but probably wouldn't want
beep,
their
beep,
kids
beep, 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 for crack. Okay.
Yeah, blowing.
Beep, 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 beep. All for slashing taxes for nearly every social service, but don't seem to understand why most people aren't at all keen to trade in even the minimal safety net the U.S. provides for 55-gallon barrels of beans and rice, a crossbow, and a first aid kit in the basement. Blissfully clueless that libertarianism is just as great just as long as it doesn't involve any real humans. All right, Lou?
Libertarians blog with a frequency that makes one wonder if they're actually employed somewhere or if they have loved ones who miss them. Libertarian blogs, even more snide than conservative blogs, if that's possible. Socially slow, will assume other people actually want to talk about legalizing hemp and the benefits of polyamorous ethos when all other folks really want to drink beer and play Grand Theft Auto 3. Yeah, this is old. Libertarianism, the official political system of science fiction authors, which explains why science fiction is in such a rut these days. Libertarians, often polyamorous, and hope you are too, but also somewhat out of shape, which takes a lot of fun out of it. Easily offended. Libertarians most likely respond, will will most likely respond to this column. The author will attempt to engage subtle wit, but will actually come across as a geeky whiner. Conservatives, more schooled in the art of poisonous replies, may actually achieve wit. Liberals will reply that they don't find any of this humorous at all. Libertarians secretly wondered what ultimately someone will figure out, that someone will figure out their whole political philosophy boils down to get off my property. Get off my property. Newsflash, this is not really a big secret to the rest of us. I'm guessing you thought I was way off on your political philosophy, but right on the button about the other two. Just think about that for a while.
Yeah, just think about that for a while. It's that's kind of the crux of the whole argument, is like, it's pretty funny about all three positions, which are really two positions, libertarianism and the other two to us are the same position. But yeah, I think most people, I first time I read this, I was like rolling on the floor reading his description of liberals and conservatives. And when it got to libertarians, I was kind of like, that's not funny, man. That goes too far. I mean, he pegged it, you know?
Yeah, well, as far as like libertarianism, I mean, basically real libertarianism, and he uses big L libertarianism in there, like LP type, which, yeah, they're never going to get elected to anything above dog catcher or waterboard. Real libertarianism says quit pointing government at people. Quit pulling the trigger.
Yeah, and Libertarian Party libertarianism says we want to point the government at people to make the government not point the government at people. But yeah, this is 2002. I mean, a lot has changed since then, man. That's a lot of years. In a dozen years, a lot has changed in I mean, I think during that time, I think a really solid ANCAP foundation has come out, and a really solid non-voting. And that sounds crazy to people, like, okay, what have you figured out in the last 12 years? Not voting, you know? I mean, that sounds ridiculous. Like, to most people, that sounds like, so what you figured out and advanced in the last 12 years in politics is give up on politics and be like some lazy hippie on the couch who doesn't vote. That's what that sounds like to most people. Do you have
examples? That's what I got out of it.
Now, do either of you have examples of why it's not real? It's not being lazy to not vote, and why it's actually, see, I don't consider it a strategy. I don't consider not voting as what's going to save humanity. I just consider it as something I can't do. You know,
it's exactly.
It's co-signing something that's horrible, and it's just encouraging the fools. It really is.
Yeah, there was a South Park episode about choosing between two really bad food items, which, yes, I won't say, but that's how I explain it to my father, who will tell me that I can't complain because I don't vote. And I tell him, you know, if you give me this A, option A or option B, and they both stink, I'm sorry, I'm not going to vote for either one. And he still doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it.
Yeah, it's really, people are brainwashed from really small children age in government schools that you have to, you just have to vote, man. It's your duty. I mean, I told my dad that my dad agrees with me on a lot of things. I mean, he doesn't like big government. He's pro gun. You know, he's anti lots of regulation on business. You know, he's pro free market. He's against high taxes. And he came out to visit a while back, and I told him that I didn't say I'd evolved to the point where I don't vote, but I said that I don't vote anymore. And he was crushed. He like had to sit down on the couch. Like, we were standing up and getting ready to leave. And I mean, he's homophobic, and I'm happily married to a woman. But if I'd told him, Dad, I'm secretly gay, I think he would have had the same reaction. I mean, he was just crestfallen. He sat down like, wow, that makes me really, he said, that makes me really sad, Michael. You know, because, and it's like, what has his life of voting gotten him, and what does
exactly
he, what strategy does he think is left in it? You know, I mean, like, there's two reasons people should not vote. One is because it's ineffective, and the other is because it's immoral, because you're participating in an immoral system that points guns at people, and you're just encouraging them. But really, a lot of people are never going to get the moral imperative of it. So I try to go with the tactical imperative of it. I'm like, what has voting done for you? I mean, he lives in New York State. You know, he's a Republican in a sea. Well, it's really not. There's a lot of conservatives in New York, but it's in a lot of situations, it's one of those things of one city controls a whole state. You know, Bloomberg, one man controls that whole state. It's a boss hog situation.
Let me summarize this nonsense about if you don't vote and if you do vote. if you don't vote, you have nothing to complain about. If you do vote and your guy loses, well, you participate in the process and you lost. If you do vote and your guy wins and screws things up, well, guess what? You voted and you lost. You know, it's if you go to any of these little men status groups like Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty or Republican or Republican Liberty Caucus, and they say, we got to vote these people out. Well, quit voting them in. That's how they got there in the first place. And they act like voting is the solution. Well, gee, thanks. That's a real original idea. You think the voting has been going on for over 200 plus years? What does voting get you? It gets you Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and George Washington's 92nd term.
Yeah. Yeah. And you should make a flow chart of that, like those three options that all lead to failure. You know, not a lot of people know this, but in my path to liberty, I was the Wyoming chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus. Did you know that?
No.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was a lonely job. It was kind of like the Maytag repairman, those ads where they used to have the loneliest job in the world, the guy sitting waiting to be called to repair these appliances that never break down. But yeah, we tried. We you know, my wife and I went and rented a table at the gun show and printed up pamphlets and stood there, and like everyone was voting with their wallet. Like, we're going to stock up on guns. We don't have time to read your pamphlets, you know? And, you know, this is kind of funny. This is very Wyoming. Like some kid, some like, oh, like 20 something hipster that was there buying guns, walked by our table, picked up the pamphlet and went Republicans and threw it down on the table and kept shopping for guns. I think he was a Democrat. I don't think he was a libertarian or anarchist, but
could he have been a Tea Party person?
Not really, because the Tea Party is pretty close. Like the Republican Liberty Caucus is kind of like the Tea Party, but they want pot legal. This kid was a hipster, man. There's no way he was a Tea Party. He was like, ew, Republicans, that's square. But he was there buying guns. That's Wyoming, man.
If you vote, you wanted a master and you got one.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't want masters. We'll be back after this trip from the real master, the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, laughing while Western civilization collapses. That's the tagline of the Freedom Fiends blog. We're not into pain and suffering. We're not wanting to really have things collapse and people be harmed. We just think it's kind of funny that people think they can centrally plan things and make it work when that just leads to chaos. And they say that what we want to do leads to chaos, but really, no, it's more like having a million people pointing a million government guns at each other is really what makes things collapse. It's not sustainable. So, Lou, you have a little topic we want to bring up here. What is it?
Social media is helping to stabilize the world, strategist says at War College. And rather than actually read the article, I figured we'd just make fun of the assertions. Because basically what it's talking about, it referenced like the Arab Spring over in Egypt and how people use Twitter to get people to go out to these different rallies and all these different things. But ultimately, Facebook and memes are destroying the faith in this horrible religion called the state. if you just look at this whole Bundy situation, you know, one that I just saw earlier, it's got the picture of the helicopter flying over the cattle and says, you know, the government is here to protect turtles with helicopters and snipers, because it just points out the idiocy of it. And it's literally destroying the faith in this monster. And you have people of all different political persuasions sharing pictures of Barack Obama and saying that, you know, that they're the same person.
Yeah, this article, when you read the article, you know, any given paragraph of it sounds intelligently written, and that's all I can say about it. You know, this is a guy with a PhD in war, and, you know, he knows his stuff. He knows all the things to say. But Davy Barker had a really good translation of the headline of this and the whole article. You know, the name of the article is "Social Media Helping Destabilize the World," strategist says at War College. Davy said that's the updated version of "Printing Press Helping Destabilize the World," says Inquisitor at Torture College. Yeah. So tell me more. Tell me more. I'm intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter, Lou. Lay it on me.
I'm just going to go with some different examples. We beat up on, metaphorically beat up on Krugman at the beginning of the show. But if you look at all the different economic memes that are out there, and memes are the bumper stickers for Facebook and Twitter because they get that short little message out there. As an example, there's one of Krugman standing next to a weather chart, and there's a big giant storm coming in. It says, "Look at all that stimulus." And then there's pictures of soldiers kicking in doors of normal people over in the Middle East, and says, "We're here to talk to you about our Lord and Savior, the state."
Ooh.
And it is really, really just pointing out the hypocrisy, the lies, the filth,
yeah,
the wart-covered beast.
The wart-covered beast, yeah. And, you know, religion in and of itself never hurt anybody. And it's a personal thing. It's cool. You know, if you're not pointing guns at me for your religion, I'm cool. I think that real Christians should not have the state as their savior. And a lot of, some of them almost do, man. Some of them, you know, God, country, faith. And the thing is, when you back a regime, you know, when you back the flag of any nation, when you back the idea of my country right or wrong, it's kind of confusing when someone who you believe is totally wrong gets the keys to that state, gets the keys to that army, gets the control of it. You know, I think that that's a lot of the gnashing of teeth in this country is from people who very rightly hate Barack Obama. He's a very hateable person. He's immoral. He's doing immoral things. He's doing immoral things faster than any other president in recent memory. And, you know, it's people back him. People backing him are people who think you gotta respect the office of the president. You know, you gotta respect my country, right or wrong. And it's like, care about your family, care about your church, care about your faith, care about your own what you care about, man. And don't have to collectivize, because collectivism in any form is socialism. We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Nikki Darling and Lucander Fiend. And me, Michael Dean. Worms.
Worms.
This is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Ah! This is Michael Dean. No relation to that filthy socialist Howard Dean. Ah! Yeah, I just finished my 19th Starbucks in my non-capacity high-capacity magazine. It's actually a single.
Mine are lightweight.
Mine are single shot. I use over and over and over. I use my bolt action single shot one shot Starbucks, and that's not an ad. We're not paid to say that. We're not paid anything. You can go to freedomfiends.com and donate. And if you don't want to donate, you can buy buttons, which is even better, because we'd rather sell you something than beg you something. And if you don't have any post 1964 dimes even to contribute, you can help by torrenting And there's explanations on there. Basically, give us some of your unused computing time to save the fiends for perpetuity. So when they go around droning people like me and Lou, I don't think they'll drone Nikki. She's too nice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about the absurdity of the world in the first segment here. And let's continue with that, Lou, about how the war college, which is a real thing, it's where they plan war and teach war. It's a think tank combined with a university where they train the generals of the future to think war forever. Because, you know, that's really the thing is it's not a defensive military. It is a war all the time military because you got to keep Wall Street happy and you got to keep those tanks rolling out. And you got to keep those drones being made, spying on everybody. You know, anybody who supports the idea of an ongoing military instead of a defensive only military should not complain that the NSA is spying on you and should not complain that there are drones watching cattle. And watching and helping the rustling of cattle by governments. And I'm broadcasting from Bunkerville. You know, it's kind of interesting. The name of that town in Nevada was Bunkerville, Nevada.
And they're fans of Archie.
Yeah, Archie Bunker. Yep. Who was an absurd man. But he actually said one thing that made sense to me on there, on that whole show when I was a kid on All in the Family. He said that he thought that the way to stop hijackings was let people bring their guns on planes. And Meathead, his sponge of a son-in-law, just made that sound absurd. And that was one of the jokes in the show. Was that so absurd? But that makes sense to me, man. I think if people could bring their guns on planes, there would not be hijackings. But I guess we pounded this war college thing into the ground yet? Is it time to go on to the Onion yet? Or I have a couple more comments. Do you have any more comments, Nikki or Lou, about this war college article that says basically social media is horrible because it makes it harder for governments to control everyone around the world?
Yep.
I have a little bit more pounding to do.
Okay, pound away, man, pound.
Well, first of all, let me state that the War College is one of the few government agencies, operations, bureaus, whatever you want to call it, that is not Orwellian in name. It is actual truth in advertising. It is about war. It is about destruction. It is about killing.
Yeah.
And essentially, whatever denomination of the state religion you have, what they're trying to do is they're trying to propagate the state religion. And a lot of people will say, well, in the Quran, it says Islam or the sword. Well, guess what? It's in the state religion. It is the state or the drone.
Yeah.
You will assimilate. You will join our collective like the Borg, and you will be a statist. That is what they say.
Yeah. Boston Tea Party said that that a gun is just a modern way of throwing a rock. And that really makes a lot of sense. I mean, a bullet is a tiny little rock, and a gun is a modern way of throwing it very, very fast and very accurately. And a drone is just a modern way of throwing a cannonball, really, when you think about it. I mean, think about how tyrants throughout the ages would have salivated at the thought of a drone. You know, I mean, they tried to do things like that. Like Leonardo da Vinci was pressed to design proto-tanks, and, you know, people tried things of, like, dropping cannonballs out of hot air balloons. And, you know, think about what some mad king from the Middle Ages would have done with the ability to hurl thunderbolts from afar the way drones do. And it's kind of here. And it's like, you know, if you trust, you say, well, I trust our military now, and I don't like Obama, but you got to trust the office of the president. Think about the next guy. Like, I don't really think Obama is Hitler. I think he's a horrible man, but he's not quite Hitler. If the next guy is Hitler, everyone's in trouble. Because if the next guy has even less control on his impulses and a little more hate than Obama and a little less respect for the Constitution than Obama, think about what's been set up. I mean, basically, they can spy on everybody. They can kill everybody remotely without leaving their office. You know, it's a pretty scary turnkey tyranny that's been set up for the next guy. And when you vote and when you think you can change things by getting involved in the process, you're encouraging the expansion of that. and you're encouraging, you're just don't encourage the SOBs, you know, just tell them what you think. Even if that's not a big strat, if you don't think that's a strategy that's solid, tell them what you think, you know. And I'm not saying write a letter to them. I'm just saying, like, openly make fun of them, their faces. If it's not a strategy, at least it's a start.
You touched on something very important there, Michael, when you mentioned the turnkey dictatorship. A lot on the left were saying during the George Bush years when the Kill All the Patriots Act was passed and all this stuff really started going full speed ahead. They said, okay, yeah, you trust George W. Bush, but what about the next guy? Now, strangely enough, they trust the next guy, even though a lot of them are complaining about him. But it just builds momentum. And, you know, what would George Washington have done if he had drones during the Whiskey Rebellion? Or here's something else. What would John Adams have done if he had an NSA during the Alien and Sedition Act? Because you do know that he had 36 people locked up for criticizing the government, including a congressman from Vermont, Matthew Lyons, who was locked up, imprisoned, and fined for calling Adams his rotundity, because Adams was his bivouac bottom. And the irony is, the craziness of this whole thing is that Lyons was reelected from his prison cell, and there's absolutely no evidence to show that he ever set foot in Chicago or New Orleans.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard it said that that Al-Qaeda couldn't have planned it better with the United States' response to 9/11. And I'm not saying there shouldn't have been a response, but I think it should have been like SEAL Team 6 day one and not the empire being expanded overseas and being pointed at the U.S. And there's an Onion article that kind of plays on that too. I mean, literally, like, you know, people say, oh, the soldiers are over there fighting for our freedoms. And it's like the freedoms have gotten taken away exponentially since 2001. And it's really been, everyone knows, everyone who's smart or thinks about it knows it's been an excuse. You know, they probably had the Patriot Act in a drawer somewhere waiting for the crisis that they didn't want to have go to waste. But Lou and Nikki, you want to read some of this Onion article?
Sure.
Now, the Onion is satire and it's parody. So this is not a real news article. And occasionally, Onion articles are so close to truth that they get reprinted by mainstream media as truth. But this one
frequently.
Yeah. But this one did not.
FBI uncovers Al-Qaeda plot to just sit back and enjoy collapse of United States.
Now, I got to say that the picture they used here that looks like a young Middle Eastern hipster leaning back on the couch, he looks like he's stoned almost, and he's watching TV with a remote in his hand, and there's squiggly letters on the screen at the bottom. You know, it looks like something from Middle Eastern television. This guy looks a lot like Nima Vedati, our co-host, who's not here today, I gotta say. Not
Does
saying
Nima have that beard?
Nima has a bigger beard than this right now.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I'm not saying Nima's Al-Qaeda, but I'm saying this picture of this Middle Eastern hipster with a beanie cap on in a t-shirt watching TV looks a bit like Nima.
Okay, so it says Washington putting the nation on alert against what it has described as a highly credible terrorist threat. The FBI announced today that it has uncovered a plot by members of the Al-Qaeda to sit back and enjoy themselves while the United States collapses in its own accord. Multiple intelligence agencies confirm that the militant Islamist organization and its numerous affiliates intend to carry out a massive, coordinated plan to stand aside and watch America's increasingly rapid decline, with terrorist operatives across the globe reportedly mobilizing to take it easy, relax, and savor the spectacle as it unfolds. We have intercepted electronic communications indicating that Al-Qaeda members are actively plotting to stay out of the way while America, as we know it, gradually crumbles under the weight of its own self-inflicted debt and despair, FBI Deputy Director Mark F.
Giuliano, I think.
Giuliano, thank you. Told the assembled press corps, this plan succeeds, it will leave behind a nation with a completely dysfunctional economy, collapsing infrastructure, and a catastrophic health crisis afflicting millions across the nation. We want to emphasize that this danger is very real.
Okay, it goes on and on with this joke for a whole page or two, but it's so apt, man. It's so, you know, I don't even think, well, there has been a stated, like, Bin Laden's plan with the 9/11 attacks. His plan was literally, it was one thing. It was not, you know, people say it was like, oh, they hate our freedoms. You know, those people, those murderous people over there did not, who did that, didn't plan it and carried it out. They don't care about, you know, Britney Spears dancing erotically on Disney TV. That means nothing to them.
They were downloading that.
Yeah, they were downloading that. You know, they don't care about the decadence of the West of, you know, basically what they wanted to do. It was retaliation for decades of U.S. involvement in Saudi Arabia and other countries over there just taking the oil, just going in and acting like they own it and like God said they could have it and taking it. And the plan was, and bin Laden is on record as having said this, the plan was to get American soldiers over to bin Laden's territory and fight them there. That was the plan. And it worked. It worked like gangbusters. The U.S. walked into it. Instead of sending a SEAL Team 6 to take him out, they sent, you know, an occupation. And then they put one here. We're going to talk more about, when we get back, about how that's taking your freedoms away, is supporting this unending war college-inspired occupation of America by America.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow. Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
War were declared. That's one of my favorite moments in Futurama, when they join the military to get a 10% discount on pork-flavored gum. And when they're signing up, they ask the recruiter, "So we don't really have to go to war or anything, right?" And he's like, "Nope. Here's your discount cards. Enjoy your pork-flavored gum." He's like, "Really? We don't have to do anything?" He's like, "Nope, you're fine, unless war were declared." And then this alarm goes off. Beep, beep, beep. And they're like, "What's that?" And he says, "War were declared." So, Lou, we're talking about this article by The Onion, which is so funny it's true, even though it's not true, but it's sometimes republished as true. The article is called FBI Uncovers Al-Qaeda Plot to Just Sit Back and Enjoy the Collapse of the United States. And it shows a young dude with a beard from the Middle East watching TV in a t-shirt with a remote in his hand. And it's kind of true, man, at this point. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't still people trying to kill Americans over there. And SEAL Team 6 would be the answer, or Letters of Mark, as Ron Paul said. But yeah, man. The U.S. people have let the U.S. government become like socialist Russia meets the Stasi of East Germany, spying on everybody all the time and arresting people for thought crime and beating up old ladies and kicking in the wrong door and kicking in the right door when they have no right to. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't see it. They don't look at the YouTubes. They don't see all the video out there. They turn a blind eye and just vote every 4 years and think that makes a difference. And if you think voting makes a difference, just wait until the next presidential election, because it probably is going to be Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush, which is like, oh, man. And they had a perfectly – go ahead.
elections are nothing more than rearranging the people sitting in the deck chairs on the Titanic as it goes down.
Yeah, there you go.
The damage is done.
Yep, yep. So what happened to and the only – we don't like politics at all, but we were kind of fans of Ron Paul, I think all three of us, to some extent or another. And I think Nikki lost employment over that at one point, didn't she?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Do you want to tell that without telling the details?
Somebody who is of a more radical, I don't know, political view than I.
Leftist. Also,
yeah. And I don't want to mention exactly what her deal is, but she noticed that I had taken some photos of at a Ron Paul rally and quizzed me on it to make, you know, she was inquiring whether or not I was just like there, I happened to be there, or if I really wanted to be there. And I wanted to be there, so.
The political officer is checking your ideology to make sure it's within the standards of the Bureau. Yeah.
And she did not, she chose not to hire you to photograph her lesbian wedding, right, as a result?
Yes, but I'm okay with that, and that's her right, and it's great. It worked out well. She was very nice.
Which is funny, because Ron Paul, you know, for anything you could say about him, is probably friendlier to the lesbian wedding people than any Republican, that's for sure. But, you know, they just think they see it all after the name, or they hear some of his platforms and go, that's horrible. They want grandma to starve, when really, like, Ron Paul wanted grandma to do anything but starve.
No, I think the left doesn't believe Ron Paul cares about gay people at all. They think he's a homophobe.
Well, he kind of is, but yeah. He's a consistent liberty guy in that he doesn't want to throw people in cages because they disagree with his core beliefs if they're not physically attacking someone else.
Yes, when you get down to the logic of his beliefs, people don't understand that. They want it to be very simple and on the surface. You either like or you don't. There's no ideology.
Yep, and that kind of idea has got Barack Obama holding the keys to the War College, and he's driving that tank, taking America with it, into basically 1984, into a constant surveillance state, war machine. It ain't pretty. What do you think, Lou? Where are we headed?
Well, I'm going to go back to that Onion article for just a second. I got a little quote from down towards the end, and Ayman al-Zawahiri says, we vow that we will not cease sitting around and laughing it up until America is reduced to rubble. And he references the healthcare system, the economy, the decaying schools, prisons, everything else. And essentially what we have here is where America is at today is a self-inflicted wound.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
You wanted government? You got it.
Yeah. So you just sent me some communist-style propaganda art that says Hillary 2016.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's for real or not, but it's been all over Facebook lately.
Yeah, it's the this is the Japanese flag behind her. This is the World War II Japanese imagery. Yeah.
Oh, for me, yelling out loud.
This is an older picture of her, too. She's a little longer in the tooth. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Pew, 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 pew,
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location outside of Bunkerville, Wyoming, which is down the road from Beast Lick, Wyoming. And we were talking about Ron Paul in the break and the campaign for a longer leash. Lou, what is Ron Paul and the campaign for a longer leash? What does that mean? What's it really called?
Well, first, let me start off by saying that as far as statocrats go, we do like Ron Paul here. I think I can speak for the three of us.
He's our favorite government thug.
Yeah. Yeah. And campaign for a longer leash.
And he's not a government thug anymore, so we like him even more.
Right. Campaign for a longer leash is his political action committee where they beg and plead for a tiny bit more freedom. And because you can't be free unless you have permission to be free.
Exactly. But,
he's running into a little trouble these days because the IRS has sent a letter demanding a list of the donors to campaign for a tiny bit more liberty, and he's standing up against them. So essentially what's happening is they sent him a letter that says, "Dear Ron, here, have some government."
Have some government. Yeah. Did you make that up? Have some government.
I don't know. I may have seen it on one of the digital bumper stickers on Facebook, but I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People have this idea that this beast can be restrained. It can't. What you're seeing now is momentum. What you are seeing is the avalanche coming down the hill. It's no surprise that the police state came about because people tolerated the existence of police in the first place. There's no surprise that everybody's spying because they demanded to be protected. They demanded safety from all these threats, real or imagined. And realistically, most of them are imagined. Now, government operates on fear-mongering by telling you about all the threats that are out there, and then they follow up with confidence-mongering about how they're going to be able to stop it. Now, right now, 400 TSA agents have been arrested for stealing, but not one terrorist has been arrested by the TSA.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're traveling to Porkfest soon, and we actually got these things. This is really funny. This is voluntary security theater. We bought these things called TSA-approved locks, which are luggage locks that the TSA has a key to. I don't know why we did that. It's an illusion. But, you know, we figure maybe it'll keep the baggage handlers out of it. But somebody told me that they just break them off anyway and steal your stuff, and that you should never check anything valuable, you know, underneath the plane. You should have it in your pocket.
Are you going to check your Bitcoins?
No, they're going to meet me there. I'm going to bring some silver in my pocket, though. See how that goes.
And I would also say be careful with your electronic cigarette juice.
How so? Are they going to poison it?
Well, no. You measure the bottles and see if you can take those on the airplane. Because I've had to throw juice out before.
Why? What'd they do to it? Oh, no. I was going to check that.
Yeah.
Is there a reason not to check that?
No, I've actually, whenever I go on trips, I put all my electronic cigarette stuff in my checked luggage.
Yep.
Except for a little mini one, which I take with me on the plane, and then I go use it places.
In the smoke. You ever been to Salt Lake City Airport?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, it actually has a smoking area, and it's in a state that's predominantly Mormon and is predominantly, very anti-smoking. But they have a really convenient, like a lot of times you have to walk a long way to get to the smoking area. But in Salt Lake City, it's like in the middle of the terminal in a big glass room that's like completely black with smoke. Like I think it's so people can point and say, "Mommy, look at the sinners." Like they're on display in an aquarium, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of gross, actually.
It is. Yeah. Yep. So, Lou, are you allergic to the government? Is that why you're sneezing?
I was coughing. Yeah. I'm allergic to it. I'm fighting off the government flu. I'm taking my vitamin A for anarchy. And, going back to this whole tax thing, there was a article in The Blaze not too long ago, and it quoted Brutus from the Anti-Federalist Papers. And what they're saying is that the IRS was warned about by Brutus, while the Anti-Federalists were opposed to ratification, with emphasis on the word rat, of the Constitution. And what he was complaining about was the power to tax at all for the national government. Yeah, I find it kind of strange that The Blaze was printing this article, but I don't find it strange that they're printing it out of context. So the IRS wasn't really that big of a stretch because, you know, you have the power to tax and there are essentially no limits on how to tax. And there's definitely no way to respond immediately. You know, if you're tired of Barack Obama stuff, well, guess what? In 2.5 years, when his term is done, you can vote for a new master.
Yeah, and it's going to be Jeb Bush, who is kind of, you know, that thing. There was a thing in the John Scalzi article about, it was making fun of conservatives for venerating Ronald Reagan and basically saying that he was a gun grabber, and he raised taxes and he expanded the federal government. But he talked a good talk, and that's what people remember. But that article, the John Scalzi article, was pointing out that he was not very smart, and later, you know, was kind of going senile at the end of his last term, but he was being manipulated by much smarter advisors. And the same thing happened even more so with Bush. Bush was even stupider and being manipulated by Cheney. And if you think, you know, it's kind of like Idiocracy, like the presidents are getting dumber and dumber and dumber. I don't think Jeb Bush is going to win, but if Jeb Bush wins, Jeb Bush is less smart than George Bush, if that's possible.
I think George Bush spent most of his terms in office playing with a ball of yarn on the floor and chasing a red laser dot that Cheney and Rumsfeld were pointing at the floor.
Oh, you're insulting cats, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, the Bush family just wants to take over completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lou.
Yes.
Bring us to something else useful.
Something else useful. Yeah, that's a tough one. Nikki, what do you got?
Well, we were talking during one of the breaks about blowback and like a revenge sort of society. And I think I talked to you about that once before. And you said you were against revenge, Lou?
I'm not necessarily against revenge 100%. With the blowback, what you have to do is you have to look at things in context. The Western powers divided up the Middle East before tea, and they spent a lot of time interfering and exporting democracy and saying, here, have some government. Yeah. And a lot of these people over in these Middle Eastern lands, they don't live that way. If you're looking at Afghanistan, it's a very tribal culture. Most of the Middle East is very tribal.
And, you know, exporting democracy literally in the form of, like, bombs that say, you know, that people write on them with grease paint, you know, happy birthday from Uncle Sam. Like, here, literally have some democracy, a bomb. And there's a thing that they hand out to U.S. soldiers going over to the Middle East. I've seen a copy of it. I'm sure you've seen it, Lou. It's basically like, you know, the fold-out field guide to the peoples you'll be imprisoning and killing. And it has, you know, the different types of Muslims and Coptic Christians and the different, you know, nationalities and ethnicities and religions and subsects of them that you're going to be encountering over there and how to tell the difference between them. And it has a chart that I found was really interesting, was like what's important to different ones. And for most of them, their religion was far more important than their nationality. And, you know, Americans look at that as a threat, but shouldn't real religious, truly, you know, God-following Americans feel that way too? Shouldn't they put God before the state? In so many cases, it's such a neck-and-neck photo finish that it's hard to even say. And the state should be magnitudes below your faith in what you believe.
Well, for Christians, there is a commandment that says, I am the Lord your God, thou shalt not worship other gods. Something about worshiping false idols and things like that. And I'm sorry, but when you wave the flag of your captors and you pledge allegiance to those captors, you're engaging in idolatry.
And
you are putting another god before your true God.
Absolutely. And that's a meme that's been going around. It's, you know, it really, some interesting discussion came out of the Bunkerville cattle rustling by the U.S. government recently. You know, pictures of the rancher and his buddies and the militia guys, you know, riding their horses, waving an American flag and a don't tread on me flag. And it's like, It's very interesting. You know, we as people who don't like government and agree that the government shouldn't be able to go in and steal your land, We were kind of on that guy's side, but we saw a lot of issues with it. And one that's become a meme is a picture of that rancher waving a flag on his horse, you know, having a range war with the federal government. And the caption says, waving the flag of your captors indicates that you have what's it called?
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And by the way,
Copenhagen syndrome, but yeah, go on.
Stockholm syndrome is not in the DSM either.
Because the DSM is based on the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
No, and but I heard that 9/11 denial now is becoming a mental illness issue.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they I'm wondering if the next DSM is going to have, you know, libertarianism as a mental disease. I mean, they kind of do because they have oppositional defiant disorder, which is basically not liking authority. And that's something they medicate kids for, which is horrible.
Yep.
Yeah, back in 19 or here in 2014, ODD is not buying into BS is called oppositional defiant disorder, but back in 1980, it was not buying into it. It was critical thinking. It was thinking for yourself as being independent and individual. And I want to go on to one other thing about the intervention in the Middle East. For all of you folks out there that are listening that support intervention in the Middle East and you support, you know, here, have some government over there. Think about how much you hate the regulation of your life, of your commerce, the fact that cops are kicking in doors on a daily basis, arresting people for possessing agricultural products. The fact that people are telling you what kind of guns you can own, what kind of milk you can drink, what kind of pigs you can have, threatening to kill cows over a tortoise. The stupid tortoise is on the endangered species list and the kill list at the same time. If you're sick and tired of what the U.S. government is doing to you, just think about how these people in the Middle East and these other parts of the world are feeling because they're getting drone bombed. They're getting attacked. They have people kicking in their doors on a daily basis. Almost every day is a potential 9/11 to them because buildings are going to get blown up with bombs and they're going to be attacked. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, and think about it as sort of a reverse scenario of Red Dawn. You know, every gun-owning patriot I know likes that movie. I like that movie. I've stroked my guns and cleaned my guns and watched Red Dawn, part the old one and the new one. It's just the same thing in reverse, man. Not everyone over there is evil, and people are going over there and shooting them and rounding them up and treating them like they're evil.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, MeowBit.
go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
It is the time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review, and we've lost the reel-to-reel tape recording. We're still rewinding the reel-to-reel tape recording that we play the Tweak and Review from. But Lou has some breaking news. What did you just find out, Lou?
Okay, I am scrolling through Hamster Book right now, and there's an article called Indicted Businessman Names Harry Reid as Alleged Recipient of Massive Bribe.
Wow.
And that's at GOPthedailydose.com. You know, something about Harry Reid is he's labeling the Bundys and their supporters as domestic terrorists. He's also saying that this isn't over. And essentially what happened, you could take away the arguments about cattle and turtles and oil and this, that, and the other thing. This whole thing comes down to property rights. Harry Reid and the rest of the statocrats are declaring that everybody and everything are their property.
Yeah, it's just Boss Hogg saying, give me your stuff, and then saying, if you don't agree with me, you're a terrorist.
Well, but Michael, the answer is to vote. We need to get the right people in charge. We need to vote harder.
We need a Republican in there stealing people's property. And, you know, they all say they're different, but, you know, the guy who's the governor of Wyoming right now ran under a platform that was one thing. It was, I will protect your gun rights. He sent out, I still have the postcard he sent to every registered Republican in Wyoming, and I was one at the time. And in the postcard, he says, I own six AR-15 pattern rifles, and I don't want Barack Obama to take them away, and I will protect yours as well as mine. And since he's been in office, he's kind of forgotten all that, and he's backed some things that are kind of gun grabby, and he's gone shooting in a publicity shoot with the totally gun grabbing Democrat governor of Colorado, our neighbors to the south. So he's not doing good things for guns, and he's also backing Common Core, which is a really evil thing. So what passes for a Republican when they're running for election is nothing like what a Republican is after they're elected. So you can't win, man.
Politicians before the election are puppies, and after the election, they're wolves. And if he supports Common Core, I'm not sure if he knows how many guns he has at all.
Why is that? Because he can't count if you support the Common Core?
Yeah, he can't figure out the mathematic formula for that.
Yeah, okay. So what's the next item on the agenda?
Our agenda. Okay.
In bizarro world, and in the world of is this really happening, we have Paul Krugman receiving $25,000 a month from the Income Inequality Institute, or the Income Inequality Program. And he's a paid shill for the state, but I bet he'd do it for free.
I guess that organization, what they do is they're devoted to making income more inequitable. If they're paying him that much, because, you know, other professors at that university, like the highest paid professors at that university, get a quarter of that amount.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Next up, we have the digital bumper stickers that are destroying faith in the state. The thing about Facebook and memes and Twitter and all this other stuff is pointing out the reality, is a logical depiction of the illogic of the system. And not only are the Facebook memes destroying the belief in the state, but the state is doing it itself.
Yeah, man.
I have a coworker that comes from a family of cops, and she's just a diehard statist. After the Aurora Theater shooting, she said, well, it'd be nice if there was a cop in there, an off-duty cop that could have stopped it. And I says, well, does it have to be a cop? You know, could it be like an off-duty gang member that plugged the guy because he wanted to live? No, it has to be a cop. Well, now she's anti-cop because she's getting harassed by some smart mouth punk with a shaved head that's taking too many steroids that pulls her over when she's coming from her sister's house all the time and giving her the same ration of garbage and just treating her like, you know, poo-poo.
You know, there was a news item that we didn't get around to, was that a cop shot himself in the foot recently while attempting to murder a friendly puppy. So, We've said we'll believe there's good cops when they arrest some bad cops. I guess that's a he became a good cop because he tried to stop himself with a gun from shooting a good puppy. And there's footage of that puppy playing with children, and he's a friendly dog. It's been a good show, fiends.
Meow.
Meow.
Worms. Meow. Meow is the
squirrels.
New. Meow is meow, the meow. New worms. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.